The month of October is traditionally two things in the Roman Catholic Church. It's the month of the Holy Rosary, where the Church encourages the members of the Church to pray the Rosary, the devotion focused on Mary's commitment and devotion to Jesus, frequently. So I hope that you all have a Rosary. If you don't have one, you'll get one, and that you pray it often, especially during this month of special devotion to the Rosary. It's also the pro-life month. The Church sets this month aside every year for reflections in our parishes on issues about life, the issue of abortion, the issue of euthanasia, the protection of human life, even in issues like the death penalty. So this is something we should be focused on and thinking about during the month of October. So please give that your thought and attention too. Today's opening prayer tells us two things that in some ways would be a test of our faith. In today's gospel, the apostles approach Jesus and they say to him, "Lord, increase our faith." And I think you and I do that every time we come to church on Sunday or any day. The reason we're here is for the Lord to show himself to us and increase our commitment to him, which is faith. Faith is that relationship that exists between us and our invisible God, who we don't see with our eyes, but have faith in because of the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Well, anyway, the opening prayer provides two tests of faith for us. This is what we prayed. Almighty and ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness forgives us, and we ask for two things. Pour out your mercy on us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not ask for. Now, does your conscience dread anything? Are there parts of your life that you're embarrassed about so profoundly and deeply that you don't want anyone to know about, including God? But, you know, we believe that God is so full of love and mercy, that's our faith, that God's mercy enables us to have confidence that God forgives what our consciences dread about ourselves. So an act of faith would be to go to confession and not to be afraid to reveal anything and everything about yourself. That's a sign of our confidence in God's love and mercy towards us, right? But also, a more positive thing for us, prayer is our confidence that God will give what we do not dare to ask for. You know, that it means anything. So, your willingness to accept God's mercy and forgiveness and your willingness to pray for anything and everything are signs of your living faith. With that in mind, let's look at today's scripture readings. As is almost always the case, our first reading is from one of the prophets in the Old Testament. This prophet's name is Habakkuk. You know, parents sometimes name their children after the prophets, Jeremiah or Isaiah, but I don't think anybody names their sons Habakkuk. I guess it's a sound that doesn't please us very, very much. But Habakkuk was a prophet that God sent to the Jewish people at the time that they were being attacked by the Babylonians. That was happening time and time and time again. And the people were complaining that God wasn't listening to them when they asked God to protect them and save them. So the reading begins with the Jewish people complaining. "How long, O Lord, I cry for help, but you do not listen." And then we're told throughout the reading here towards the end, "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live.'" Now, so I looked at the word rash in the dictionary. I thought I knew what it meant. You know, it doesn't mean something on your arm that you scratch. It's not that kind of rash. But a person who's rash according to the dictionary, is someone who imprudently acts hastily. Want it now. And God says, if you're a person of integral faith, if you really believe, you don't push God. You have confidence. If you're a just person, you have confidence that God will act in God's own time. And that's a sign of faith, that you really know that God is God and we are creatures and that God does listen to us, but we don't control God. You know, God is beyond our control, but a God who loves us and will intervene at the appropriate time. So this first reading helps us move in the direction of today's gospel. And as I mentioned at the beginning of my reflections, the apostles came to Jesus and they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. Now, what led them to do that? Well, my guess and yours is about the same. I'm just guessing here. But if you look at where this takes place in St. Luke's gospel, Jesus and his apostles are walking to Jerusalem, the place where he will die on the cross. And on the way, he's been teaching them all that is required of a disciple of Jesus. When they began the journey, they were enthusiastic and confident, you know, that this is really something. And they were overjoyed at being called to be disciples. But they heard Jesus' teaching along the way and probably were a little concerned that he was asking a whole lot of them. It wasn't going to be as easy as they thought it would be. In fact, in the four verses prior to this passage, Jesus says two very difficult things. He warns his disciples, that's us, about the danger of scandal, you know, acting in a way that leads other people into sin. And Jesus says it would be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and be thrown into the sea than to scandalize God's little ones, you know, God's innocent people. You ever see a millstone? I mean, they're really big. And to have one tied around our neck and being tossed in the sea is a pretty serious matter, you know. But to be a disciple of Jesus means you don't give scandal. You don't lead other people into sin by your bad example or by your encouraging them to sin with you. So that's one of the teachings Jesus gave just before this moment. The other was the question about forgiveness. The disciples asked him, how many times should I forgive my brother? Thinking that, you know, once or twice is pretty good. And Jesus said, oh no. If your brother sins against you seven times, then you have to forgive them, that brother, seven times, which means in an ongoing way without limitations. So be a disciple of Jesus means a woman or a man who's constantly forgiving people who offend us. And so the disciples began to think, this is really difficult to be a follower of Jesus. And they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. And in response to that request, Jesus tells two stories. It sounds like just one, but there's really two stories here. The first is the image of the mustard seed. Now, how many of you know what mustard seeds look like? A few people raise their hands. You know, if you get a jar of kind of rough mustard, you can see the seeds in it yet. They're really tiny little seeds. And Jesus says to them, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, which means not very much at all, then you would be able to say to a mulberry tree, and there's a lot of mulberry trees in Kansas where I grew up, I don't know that I've seen any here, but you know, they're trees of considerable size, but if you have even a faith that small, you could say to the mustard seed, root up yourself and throw yourself into the ocean, and it would do that. You know, so having faith leads to being able to do extraordinary things. And then Jesus tells another story that at first look might not seem very much associated with this notion of faith. He tells a story about a man who had some slaves, who were working in the field. They were shepherds taking care of the flocks and the herds. And at the end of the day, they came in. And then Jesus tries to get the people who are listening to him to insert themselves into this reality, because he says to them, "Who among you?" So they're talking, now look at your own experience. "Who among you would say to that servant who just came in, 'Come here immediately, take your place at the table, and I'll serve you'? No, that's not what servants are supposed to do, right? It's turning things upside down. If you were the master and you had these slaves and they were coming in and they were supposed to cook the meal and take care of you, you would say to them, 'Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.'" And then Jesus asked the question, "Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So it should be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" Now, how does that have anything to do with faith? Well, let's look at these two issues. First of all, the mustard seed issue. Jesus is telling us that it's not necessary for us to have what we might consider a huge amount of faith in order to accomplish great things. All we need is some faith. And Jesus is really telling us it's more difficult to have some faith than to have a whole lot of faith. If you have some, you can move into the greater amount. But we somehow think that having faith means that we need to have more trust than we ordinarily have in God, that we should have greater assurance that he's going to be taking care of us no matter what happens in our life, and that our faith should be bold and strong all the time. If we're not like that, we're not women, we're not men who have faith. But Jesus says that's not the world we live in. That's not the real world. The real world we live in is going about our ordinary life having trust and confidence in God. And that's what faith is. And if we have that much faith, if we let confidence in God build our lives, then we're going to accomplish extraordinary things in our family, at work, in the situations where we find ourselves today. And in the second story, Jesus is telling us that there's a huge relationship between humility and true faith. Because true faith is knowing that God is God and we are his creatures whom he loves. That's what faith is. And that means that God doesn't owe us anything, no matter how much we do or how strongly we act. That when we do what is required of us in ordinary life, then all we have the right to say is, "I am an unworthy servant. I have simply done what I have been asked to do." So faith is acknowledging our right relationship with God and our right relationship with others, and acting out of that. Faith doesn't make us different. It makes us good and holy if we're faithful at following through on what God asks of us. Now, there's all kinds of forces in the world that are corrosive when it comes to faith. You know, but it eats it away like acid eats away metal. You know, our persistent sins can undermine our faith. We want to do good, but we don't. We want to avoid sin, but we fall. And that can lead us to give up trying, right? Give up having confidence in God and in God's ability to change us. Sometimes it's other people, that scandal that I talked about before. You know, sometimes the fact that so few people go to church today, and for those of you who are young adults, so few of your generation go to church today, sometimes that's very corrosive of faith. Well, is this real? And since so few people are responding to it. You know, I think the most common corrosion of faith is a fact that we want money, we want power, we want to be popular, we want pleasure, and all that focus on ourselves and what I want is corrosive to faith. But if we have just a little bit of faith that kind of permeates our life, then we can do great things. And the great thing is just being faithful to the task that God has given us. I think I've said this many times before in the cathedral. Some of you heard me say this, that when I was studying theology many, many years ago, before becoming a priest, one of the priests who was my teacher at the seminary and one of our formation directors talked about the greatest miracle in the world is just the miracle that we love one another, because that's so hard to do. It's much more impressive than a tree being lifted up and tossed into the sea. That we can forgive one another, we can have mercy on one another, we can be self-forgetting in the service of one another. That little thing is a huge thing, because it makes all the difference in the world. So at Mass today, we join together asking the Lord to increase our faith. And by that, we don't mean give us a lot more, but to help it be pervasive in our life, so that everything we do, everything we say, all that we're about gives glory to God and serves our brothers and sisters. If we do that, the Lord will do great things with us.